there today in Scripture, then move over to several places. And I'll keep the preaching brief today, but I do want to mind the Lord. So, as our custom is, let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God this morning, found in the Gospel, the book of John, chapter number 21. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. If you're there this morning, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. I sure am glad when Jesus shows up. And there were together. I like this. It's nothing like unity. They were Simon Peter. Boy, what a character he was and is. By the way, he's still living. He's over in the gates of the glorious city. So, the Bible said they were together, Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. Now, watch the next phrase. The sons of Zebedee, and here it is, and two other of His disciples. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for Jesus and the grace of God. Thank You for the sweetness of Your Spirit today. God, all these families that have come, and Lord, we need a word from You. And thank You we still have the right Bible this morning. Thank You, God, that within Your listeners today that we can read what thus saith the Word of the Lord. Help us today. Help our nation, all our missionary families. Do that only what You, our great God, can do. And we'll be careful to honor You for it, and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Notice in the last phrase, He mentioned several characters. Then there's two that's not mentioned. He said, and simply two other of His disciples. Now, preacher, why weren't they named? Who were they? Well, it's not important if people know our name, just as long as the Lord knows our name. And all through our Bible, there are many no-named people. And let's look at that little thought this morning. I want to preach on this simple subject, on being a nobody for somebody. Being a nobody for somebody. You see, when our name is not proclaimed, it keeps the pride down. Keeps the praise down. But may I say, we must always mention the name above all names. He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It does not matter if people don't know your name in this world or even in this congregation. Long as Jesus is magnified, that's what we're here for. Now, I want to show you a few no names and get to the main text that I want to give you this morning. It won't take me long, but turn over to the left in your Bibles. I want you to find 1 Kings chapter number 17. Here we're going to see a lady that is mentioned that had no name. Her name was not mentioned, but the Lord was very aware of her whereabouts. Look in 1 Kings 17 and 8. I want to give you a few little nuggets out of this passage and follow along with me. First of all, the Bible said in verse 8, talking simply about Elijah, said, the word of the Lord came unto him, talking to Elijah. He said, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Underline that, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded, and here's our thought, a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. Isn't that amazing? God told him to get there. And when he got there, it was somebody there. I'm glad there's a God that knows how to direct our paths this morning. And he used this little no-named woman. Her name was not mentioned. He simply referred to her as a widow woman. Look what he says. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. Look what she was doing. She was gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Boy, isn't that a terrible situation? This little widow woman had lost her husband, no doubt. She's left now with a child, and she seems to have nothing. God has sent Elijah, the man of God, down to where she is, and so she's met him. The Bible said in verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Make me therefore a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail to the day that the Lord sendeth rain on the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now you'll notice he said, when he met her, she said, I have not. Boy, it seems like we don't have much. But yet Elijah, she responded and said, have not. Then he said, fear not. Then you'll notice the Bible said it wasted not. Aren't you glad we got a God this morning? When you scraping the bottom of the barrel, God's always got enough in His supply. All through our life, many times, spiritually, materially, we think we're at the bottom of the barrel. But honey, when you put God first, you'll notice Elijah told her, make me a meal of cakes first. And by her giving, it brought her living. I want to tell you today, when you put God first in your life, God will make your barrel go a long way. Now I want to say today, with this little widow woman, you'll notice this great Bible instruction. God told Elijah to go by the brook and it dried up. Then he gave him other directions. So what do you see there, preacher? First of all, following God is one step at a time. You can only go as far as the light is shining. But aren't you glad that God will direct us every day of our life? So you'll notice Elijah had to learn. Following God was one step at a time. Secondly, her own survival involved her giving. I want to say this. She didn't have much, but when she gave to God's man and the things of the Lord, God allowed that barrel to increase. How many times in my life have me and my wife given unto the Lord and the things of God, and boy, that barrel just keeps on giving. Is anybody realize there's a God that keeps on giving out of the barrel, and He's good at it when you get in the bottom of the barrel this morning. One thing, when we get in the bottom of the barrel, we realize we need God. So, oh my, the Lord showed Himself greatly to her. You know, now I want to say then lastly about this little phrase, not only following God is one step at a time, not only did her own survival involve her giving, but lastly, God does it again and again. God does it again and again. So that's the widow woman. She had a barrel for somebody. Then secondly, turn to right in your Bible to 2 Kings 4 and 8. I want to say there was a great woman there that had a blessing for somebody. He refers to her as just a great woman. Never did call her name, but God knew who she was. So here in 2 Kings, we pick up again about Elisha. Here, Elijah was the daddy preacher of Elisha. Elisha learned the ministry of the Lord by the hand of Elijah. So we pick up now in 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Here the Bible said, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. And here's the phrase, where was a great woman. I want to say thank God for the great women in the Bible. Thank God for the great women in our church and our pathways of life. Look what she does. She constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as oft as he passed by, he returned in thither to eat bread. And she said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually." Now look what she does. It's very important. I want to show you this great truth in the Bible today. Verse 10, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee." And look where she wanted to put it. On the wall. On the wall of their home, she wanted to go up and build Elisha a room for him. Look what she's going to put in it. "Let us set for him there a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither." So it fell on a day that he came and he turned into the chamber. They made it and built it and he laid there. So now Elisha wants to be good to this woman for her kindness. They call her in front and say simply, "Great woman, what would you have God do for you?" And she simply said this, "I dwell with my people. I don't need anything else. I've got everything that I need." Now, all of a sudden, I'm going to show you this truth that happens in the Bible. Verse 18, Elisha told her, said, "Well, you're without child, your husband is old, and so God's going to give you a child." Well, that child was born to her. Now, look what happens to her. Verse number 18, "When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, his working in the field. He said to his father, 'My head, my head.' And he said to a lad, 'Carry him to his mother.' When he had taken him and brought him up to his mother," watch, "he sat on her knees till noon and then died." Preacher, what's happened? Well, see, God has given this great woman a child. Her husband was old. They performed a miracle. They began to raise this little boy. He's out in the field working with his dad. And so he begins to hurt and he sends him to his mother. And this child dies on his mother's knees at noon. What are you saying? I want to say today, and I don't want to be morbid. I'm going to finish on a high note. But you'll notice in life many times when the sun is shining the highest, sometimes it can turn the darkest. The Bible says at noonday, the child got on her lap and died. Now here's the nugget that I want you to see. Look now in verse number 21. Look what she does, this great woman. The Bible says she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him. Well, what's the truth there, preacher? You know, I showed you where that she had went to her husband and said, "Let's make the man of God a room." And they put it upon the wall of the house. Then when trouble came, look where she took that child. She took him up to that room. And here's the nugget that I never want you to forget. If you'll make room for God, He'll be sure He has room for you. And if churches could just understand that in America, and if Christians could understand that, and families understand, if we will give God a room, then God will make room for us. Boy, I'm going to tell you, God is so good at blessing His people. You say, "Preacher, why do you serve the Lord?" Well, first of all, because He saved me one day and He put a love in me that I've never got over. And I love the Lord. But I want to say, secondly, I need the Lord. And so many times in my life, in your life, when the sun is shining the highest, it turns the darkest. But aren't you glad that God's got a place for you to come to? Oh my, this morning, this great woman, she had a blessing for somebody. You know, isn't it a blessing that people would look and see the needs of the Lord? And even though her name was not mentioned, she had a blessing for somebody. The widow woman had a barrel for somebody. But now one of my favorite texts, turn just one page over to the right in 2 Kings 5. We've seen a widow woman had a barrel for somebody. A great woman had a blessing for somebody. Now, thirdly, there's a little maid had a burden for somebody. Her name was never mentioned, but in 2 Kings 5, Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, he is a great man, his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. For he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out. Watch this, young ladies. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Preacher, this little maid, she had a burden for somebody, didn't she? She sure did. In verse 2, look at her captivity. The Bible said the enemy had went into the nation of Israel and brought this little maid out. And she began to wait on Naaman's wife, as he was a great leader in the fortresses of the enemy. Not only do we see her capacity, she is a little maid. Young girls, did you know God could use you in a great way this morning? In your schools that you're going all across this country, God could use you in your capacity even though that you're small. Notice her, not only her capacity, but her captivity. She was living in a bad place. And you know, my heart goes out to children today that live in a bad place. You know, our hearts ought to go out to these children and help them and mentor them and be good to them. But see, this little maid, she had a burden for somebody. When's the last time you had a burden for somebody? You see her captivity, her capacity, but her concern. She said, you know something? I could see her just sweeping with her little broom. And she heard about her master that had leprosy, a type of sin. She took a time out. She said, I want to tell you, I know a man who can. Can I tell you, I'm glad I know a man that can. And his name is the Lord Jesus today. And this little maid had a burden for somebody. I wish we could get a burden for our loved ones. Do you realize there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? And the Bible says you must be born again. And oh, we have so many loved ones and friends that are lost and undone without Christ. I invited a young man that I've been acquainted with, and several others here are acquainted with him. He's never been to American church but one time. I invited him this morning. I looked in the parking lot on both sides looking for him. I prayed for him today. You know why? I want to see him be saved by the good grace of God. There's no pope, no priest, or no Baptist preacher going to pray you into heaven. You've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ out of your heart. Realize you are a sinner and He will save you by His amazing grace. Oh, how we need to have a burden for somebody. You see, being a nobody for somebody. We see a widow woman had a barrel for somebody. A great woman had a blessing for somebody. She built him a room upon their home. This little maid had a burden for somebody. But I want to say lastly, and I want you to look at this text in Judges 16. Turn all the way to the left in your Bible. Right after the book of Joshua, the book of Judges 16, I want to show you something. Not only is there a little maid had a burden for somebody, but the Bible says there's a lad there that had a benefit for somebody. Boy, I got help in my heart out of this text this morning as I was pondering these scriptures and studying. And I want to show you this truth. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's around page 306. But Judges chapter 16, and I want to start reading today in verse number 23. There's a lad there that had a benefit for somebody. Now, let me give you a little background. I'm done preaching. Samson was a man that looked a lot like many of us, no doubt. But the power of God would come upon him, and he had the power that no other man had. Samson took that power for granted. He began to walk through this world, and he began to dabble and tamper around in sin. You know the story. He met Delilah. So Delilah was a part of the Philistines. Samson was for the people of God. Delilah got Samson in her lap, and begin to sing sweet songs and whisper things in his ear. And so Samson began to respond, and he told her a couple times. She said, "I want to know where your strength lies, Samson." And he didn't tell her the truth. He told her a couple things, and they tried it. The Bible said when he awoke, he got up as at other times, and his strength was there. But he done something that cost him his strength. He put his head in her lap, and he told her that "my hair is my strength." They came and they shaved Samson, and the Bible said that when they said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon thee," and when he arose, his power was gone. The Philistines took him, made sport of him. And you know, he took the jawbone of a donkey and killed thousands. They knew all about Samson, but now they bring him back to the prison house. They put him in shackles, and this is a bad thing. They took and they took his eyes out and blinded him. And now they bring him before a big coliseum. They're making spectacle of him. On top of the roof, there was thousands of people. And Samson is there, and the Bible said they're making sport of him. Child of God, you be careful. Don't let what the world say about me and you that it cannot happen, because it can happen to every one of us. Don't never say that it won't happen to me. You better stay close to God, stay in His Word, and stay on your knees, because if you stay on your knees, it's hard to fall. Somebody say amen. And so here we find this in the last scene of his life, and I want to give you this little truth. The Bible said in Judges 16, verse 23, "And the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, to rejoice. They said, 'Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand.' When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, 'Our God hath delivered our hands, our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us.' And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may make a sport.' And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them a sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad that held him by the hand, 'Suffer me.'" You see that? The lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. When the house was full of men and women, all the lords of the Philistines were there. There were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.' And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was born, one with his right hand, the other with his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, upon all the people. And they therein were dead. He slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down, and they buried Samson in the burying place of Manoah's father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Let me say this now, I'm done preaching. There was a lad there that had a benefit for somebody. You see, Samson got his prayer back. I'd never noticed this. Brother Mike, you ever seen this? Look in verse 28, what he said. Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me." You know, in Luke chapter number 23, that thief on the cross, he said the same things. "Lord, remember me." I'm glad Samson got his prayer back. And you'll notice when he got his prayer back, he got his power back. I love this. Cooper, come here just a minute, son. Come here, I want to use you just a minute. There was a little lad there. Old Samson's a blind man. Take my hand now. I want you to lead me. Give me this hand. I want you to lead me over these pillars. There's a little lad there, and he led old Samson. That's what he said. He said, "Son, I put my hands on the pillars. I want to feel them. Thank you, Cooper. That little lad led him to the pillars. The Bible said he got one on his left hand, one on his right hand. And he said, Lord, remember me. I'm glad he got his prayer back. And then when he pulled them pillars over, the Bible said the house fell, got his power back. And then he defeated those enemies of Israel. Oh, I'm glad he got his purpose back. They came, buried Samson. I got to thinking today, Miss Sherry, would you come? I wasn't going to give an invitation, but I want to close it with this right here this morning. If you'd display it. I want to thank God for the little children we've got in Liberty Baptist Church. I want to thank God for this little lad. Brother Ty, when we get to heaven, yes, I want to see Jesus who hung and died for us and that has saved us and saved me. I want to see the Lord most of all. But you know, I'm interested in meeting, Brother Mike, some of these no-name people that we never knew who they were, but the Lord knew who they were. And children at Liberty Baptist Church, you never forget this. You can be such an asset to other people. But just taking them by the hand and being kind to them and leading them to the pillars of the church. What is that, preacher? Oh, that's old time worship. That's the Word of God. That's praise. That's singing. That's praying. And I want to thank God for people that's grabbed me by the hand. You see, we do need each other this morning. You may think you don't need nobody. Friend, when you get to where he was, you're going to thank God for the people that reach out their hand and grab yours. Miss Sherry, I play this morning. You may be here today. You've never been